All right. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Grace Church. If we have never met before, my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors on staff. Thank you so much for coming out and for joining us today. We also want to welcome those of you who are watching online. We're glad to have you with us, too. And if no one has said this to you, let me be the first to say Happy New Year. We're excited to spend 2026 with you guys. If you are someone who is brand new to Grace Church, maybe you came to Christmas Eve services for the first time, we want to extend a special welcome to you, and we would love to meet you. If you would be willing to introduce yourself to us, myself and some of the other staff members will be hanging out in the lobby after services, and we would love it if you just come up and introduce yourself so we can get to know you a little bit more and hear a little bit about what brought you out here. Something that else that I want to let you guys know about that's coming up in a few weeks is something that we call our intro class. So if you're not familiar with this, the intro class is really designed specifically for those who are kind of exploring who we are as a church. So maybe you're new to the area, you're kind of checking out churches. Maybe you're new to Christianity and you're checking out church in general. And this class is a great way to get to know us better, to learn a little bit more about who we are, some of the things that drive and shape kind of who we are as a church. And this class is really meant to help you decide and answer the question, is this the type of place that maybe someday I actually want to call home, right? If you're trying to figure that out, this is a great next step for you to take. This class is also designed for those of you who have already answered that question. Like you've come to the place where you're like, this is absolutely my home church and I'm ready to take the next step and start serving and getting involved. If that's you, the first thing we're gonna ask you to do is to take the intro class with us. And so if that's something you're interested in, you can find all the details for that at something we call the weekly. So you can either get out your phones, you can scan that code, or you can simply go to the front page of our website and you can find that there as well. If you do head to the weekly, you're also gonna find info for all the other upcoming events and things that are going on at our church. So if you're not sure when something is or what's coming up, that's the best place to go to do that. And if you go there right now, one of the things you'll see is that we have a new series coming up that we're going to launch next week in the book of John. So our first series of 2026 will be in the book of John, and we would love to have you guys come back and join us for that as well. So with that said, one of the questions in your mind might be, well, if our first series of 2026 starts next week, then what are we doing today? And so what I want to do is I want to take a moment and kind of set the context for where we're headed in today's service. And so each year as a church, as we kind of close out one calendar year and we start the next one, we as a church have found it a healthy rhythm to take a moment to pause and to collectively kind of look back. And so each year, we call this service the finale because it normally falls on the last weekend of the calendar year. That's not how it fell this year, but that's normally how it falls. And so to give you some context for why we do this and where we are headed today, I'm going to read you guys a story out of the book of Luke chapter 17. And if you have been part of Grace for a while now, hopefully this story is very familiar to you. So here we go, Luke 17. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourself to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" And so in this story, God heals 10 men of their leprosy, right? An absolutely horrible disease that was very prevalent in the days of Jesus. But after these 10 men are healed, we're told that 9 of them simply just continue on with life, right? We're not told where they're going or what they're doing, but whatever it is they were headed to, they just kind of keep on going. Now, I'm sure that in that moment, that all of these men were indeed grateful that God had healed them, right? I can't imagine that you can be healed of something that horrible without experiencing at least a certain amount of gratitude. But what Luke tells us is that out of the 10, that only one of them actually took the time to go back to find Jesus and to thank him. That there was only one man who was grateful enough to kind of hit the pause button on life, to stop where he was going, to turn back, to find Jesus and to properly thank him for what he had just done in his life. And so each year, as we kind of reflect on this story and we think about our church, one of the things that we know to be true is that we know that God has moved in many of your lives this past year too. I know that he has taught some of you new things, that he has healed some of you of your brokenness. I know he has freed some of you from addictions and saved some of your marriages. And I know that some of you in this room, you met God for the very first time this past year. And what I don't want to be true, what we don't want to be true, is we don't want us to be like the other nine in this story. We don't want to be so busy that we don't have time to look back, to remember what God did, and to properly thank him. And so before we sprint into a new year with new goals and new resolutions, and before we get to the new series of the year, we're going to pause. We're going to take a moment to look back and to remember and to praise God for everything that happened in 2025. Now, every year, in order to do this, we recruit some help. And so over the past few months, we asked six people to write a letter personally to God, thanking him for the ways that he has moved in their life this past year. And then we asked them if they would be willing to read and share that letter with all of you. We've also asked the band to lead us in several times of worship so that we can express our gratitude to him through song. And so today's gonna be a mixture of those two things. So we're gonna hear kind of a chunk of stories together, and then we're gonna pause and we're gonna respond by worshiping and just thanking God for what we just heard. Then we're gonna hear a few more stories, and then we're gonna do that again by responding in worship. And while the service is going on, the challenge that I want to give to each one of you is to not just listen to their stories, but to also allow their stories to spark your own memories about the ways that God has moved in your life this past year and the reasons that you have to be grateful and express thanks to him. And that doesn't mean that your year is all happy moments. I know for a fact that for many of you, you had some really hard moments in there too. But as you're gonna hear in some of these stories, even in the hard seasons, God is still working and there are still plenty of reasons to be grateful. And then near the end of the service, we're actually gonna give you a few moments just to reflect on your own life. We're gonna give you some space just to think back, to remember, and give you some actual space to spend time just thanking God for how he has moved in your life as well. And my hope is that as you hear these stories, that God will well up something inside of you. And what we say every year is that we hope it's like pouring gasoline on an already lit fire of gratitude inside your heart. And so then when it comes time to worship, that we're not gonna just sing because we like the music, but we're gonna sing out of the overflow of a grateful heart for both who God is and for what he's done, both in the stories that you're about to hear and for the things that he has done in your own life as well. So that's where we're headed today. Maybe a little bit different than you expected when you were coming here, but that's where we're headed, and I think it's gonna be really good and really healthy for us. So I'm gonna take a moment, I'm gonna pray for us, and then we're gonna dive into the first story. Well, Father, you are good, and we are incredibly grateful for you for a whole host of reasons. But God, we're often wired to be people who like to run forward and think about the new thing and the next thing. And God, we are excited about a new year and New Year's resolutions and fresh starts. And God, we're excited to see what you're gonna do in 2026. But Father, before we do that, we wanna take a moment, we wanna pause, we wanna look back and thank you for the things that you have already done in our lives. So God, it is my prayer that the next hour or so will be an expression of our gratitude to you for your incredible faithfulness to us. So Father, we love you, we thank you, we ask all these things in your son's name, amen. You guys can go ahead and check out this first story.
God, I remember the hopelessness and despair I was stuck in before you saved me. I remember the abuse and neglect that came with growing up in a household of drug addicts. This led me down a path of darkness and sin, of depression and self-harming. I remember the day I wanted to take my own life. But most importantly, I remember the day you saved me. It was my first time participating in prayer, and even though I hadn't known you, I felt you. My uncle was in hospice, experiencing a terribly painful death. I remember thinking, if there were a God, how could he let someone go through this? The hospital pastor came into the room full of people. He looked at me and asked if he could pray for me. I reluctantly agreed, and as he prayed for me, I felt an overwhelming sense of peace that I had never experienced before. I felt the Holy Spirit lifting my soul and showing me that there was a way out of the darkness. I remember running out to my car and crying tears of awe and wonder of what just happened to me. I became ignited with curiosity, asking questions I had never considered before. Questions like why we exist and what the purpose of life truly is. He then led me to Grace Church, where I felt at home the very first day that you brought me here. It was only a matter of time of attending your church and spending time in your word that I was utterly convinced of your reality and your love for me. As I reflect on the past year, I am struck in awe and in gratitude for the changes that you have made in my life. You've completely washed away the emptiness that my upbringing left my soul with. You've washed away the countless sleepless nights filled with despair, the nightmares, and the unbearable pain that I carried. I now carry a heart of hope and gratitude, especially for the dark times. As it says in your word, all things work together for good for those who are called according to your purpose. You have proven this to be true through the healing and redemption of my past. This past year, you continue to lead me on my spiritual journey by calling me to be baptized, married, and join a biblical community. Through all of these things, you showed me that after being in relationship with you, being in relationship with others is one of the most important callings we have. Through my marriage, you've taught me why marriage is a covenant. You've blessed me with someone to rejoice in your love with, to grow in faith alongside, to reveal my blind spots, and to help shape me into the woman you've created me to be. Through biblical community, I've come to know your heart more deeply. I've gained wisdom through the different perspectives of people who love you and worship you as I do. You command us to live in loving relationship with one another so we can experience even a glimpse of the love you have for us, all for your glory and for our good. God, I remember and I am grateful.
God, we remember when we were first asked to consider becoming life group leaders. We were honored to be asked and the opportunity sounded exciting. But around this same time, we were preparing for one of us to go back to school, and that change to our lives seemed like it would be a lot to manage all by itself. Ultimately, we felt we wouldn't have the capability to navigate this change in our lives and lead a life group, and we felt it would be unwise to say yes, so we said no.
Life continued on. We continued attending our life group and kept preparing for school. I guess we just lived our lives and trusted that whatever you wanted us to do, you'd let us know. And God, during that time, you were so good to us. We experienced the love of Christ through people that came through our life group. We saw you bring people to faith in Christ. We watched you bring people through hard relationships and health issues. We felt your joy when we got to celebrate marriages, and we felt your peace and comfort when members of our life group passed away. We really just enjoyed this time of growing in relationship with you and watching you work in and through the lives of people in our life group.
But after some time had passed, we remember having a conversation with each other about how we both felt, spiritually, something was missing. Or maybe there was something we should be doing but weren't. We wondered if we'd missed our opportunity when we said no to becoming life group leaders. But we still trusted that we made the correct decision at that time. Now, our memories might be a little off, but we're confident within a week or two of that conversation with each other, we were again approached by our life group leaders. And once again, they asked if we'd be willing to lead our life group. That seemed like a clear sign from you. We trusted this was the decision you had been leading us to. And so this time we said yes.
As it turns out, saying yes was the easy part. Preparing to leave our current life group to start another was the hard part. We had a lot of questions. Who would come with us to help us lead and teach? Where would we meet? Would anyone from our old life group even come with us? What if too many people came with us and we weren't prepared? Now that one of us is back in school, how would we manage? But with every question we brought you, you provided. It's not that we didn't trust you would, but now looking back, we see how you put everything together.
The overarching question that we've asked all this journey has been, are we capable of doing this? And honestly, God, it feels like the answer is no, we can't. At least not by ourselves. We weren't capable back when we were first asked, and we're still not capable now. But the thing is, instead of looking at our capabilities, we've learned and been reminded to trust you and your power over this past year.
The greatest lesson we've learned this year is that Jesus, you are the one who is actively leading, building, and loving your church. We've experienced this through the lives of others who have supported, encouraged, and loved us along this journey. Some of them are joining us in this new life group, and some are remaining behind in the old life group to be a part of the new things you're doing there. Either way, God, the love you've given us through the relationships with these people is one of your best gifts.
If we've learned nothing else this year, we've learned that Jesus is trustworthy, and he's the one doing the heavy lifting anyway. Because we know this is true, we're excited to see how Jesus leads and transforms our lives, as well as the lives of those around us over this next year. God, we remember, and we are grateful.
Dear Heavenly Father, I remember before I understood who you really were, I chased a thousand little joys. Career milestones, savings goals, the next car, another pair of Jordans I couldn't get as a kid, accomplishments, affirmation, and the list goes on. And yet every time I reached one goal, life moved the goalpost again. My joy was temporary because it was rooted in things that were never meant to hold the weight of my soul. But Father, everything changed the moment I actually opened your word and let your face shine upon me. It was then when you opened my heart. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 119:103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. It wasn't success, comfort, or achievement that finally filled me. It was you, your presence, your word, your truth, and the joy that comes from seeing your face. Father, I also want to thank you so much for the night that changed my life forever. August 1st, 2009, the day that I met the partner in my life, my wife, Antonia. Now that I look back on it, I believe this was your way of really getting my attention, because that night you pulled me away from a life that would have not led to much good. God, just like Jonah, I was headed in the wrong direction. Only you knew that moment would bring two lost souls and broken hearts together to be transformed by your love and your grace by faith through your Son, Jesus Christ. It's amazing how 1 minute can change everything. I don't believe in coincidence, only evidence, and Father, you are so good. I'm humbled by the way you've been moving in and through our family, allowing us to be co-workers with you in your kingdom. You've let us witness your goodness firsthand and allowed us to be a part of your story. And even though the enemy tries to attack us and throw curveballs, we stand firm in truth that Satan's been underfoot since Genesis 3:15. You, Father, are the certified head crusher through Christ. Victory is already yours, and we get to keep swinging with joy. Father, I'm so grateful for what you showed me through the Alpha courses, how to meet people right where they are, just like you met me. It's humbling to realize that your love for me is greater than the love I could ever have for you. You took your eyes off your one and only Son for a moment to place them on me, and I can never repay that debt. Only Jesus could, and he actually did. Thank you for the undeserved grace. I also thank you for our life group, the 30 and 30 leadership meetings with Jeff and Rick, the What is the Bible class, for our faithful church and the leadership team here that continues to pour into us. They show me what it means to serve like Jesus with humility, wisdom, and love. Thank you, Father, for the men's groups and the brotherhood that you've surrounded me with. You've given me a safe place to be vulnerable, to confess, to be sharpened, and to be held accountable by men who always point me back to the cross. When times feel tough or uncertain, you use those brothers to remind me of your strength and your faithfulness. I'm learning that I don't need to have everything in order to be loved by you. You want me just as I am. You take my mess and turn it into something meaningful. Through every class, every conversation, and every moment of worship, you've been showing me that this is what a real relationship with you looks like, raw, honest, and full of joy. And lastly, Lord, I just lift up anyone listening to these words. I pray that they can get a glimpse of the joy that changed my life, the joy that comes from seeing the face of Jesus turn toward them in love. They don't have to get their lives cleaned up first. You are ready to meet them right where they are. All they got to do is open the door and let you in. As Revelations 3:20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Lord, show them the love that changed my life. Hesed, your covenant love is what transforms us from the inside out, and it's available to every single person who calls on the name of Jesus. Father, for all this, I remember, and I'm grateful.
Man, these stories are awesome. Can we just give a hand for what God has done in the lives of the people in our church? awesome. Well, feel free to stand with us as we sing this song together, reminding ourselves over and over about God's goodness.
Days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. As a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so the goodness of God. I will sing, I will sing of your goodness. Your goodness is running out.
Yeah, I love listening to these stories and singing these words because it reminds us that God doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste anything. And I love, especially in Olivia's story, how she shared about how God uses every single thing, as Romans would tell us, for God's glory and for our good. So as we sing this next song together, would you think about that? Would you think about how God uses everything for his glory and for our good?
Alone, the name above all names.
Thanks for singing with us, guys. You can go ahead and take a seat while we look at the next videos.
God, I remember when I was living in active rebellion against your word. I was hardening my heart and smothering the flame you bore in my soul through the way I was backsliding. While visiting the farmer's market in Medina Square, August 3rd, 2024, I saw two young men my age with a booth set up solely for Jesus. The booth said, "I love Jesus." And there I met Zach Cousins and Matthias Gruich. And they invited me to sit down with them, so I did, and shared the experiences that I've had with you, Lord. How you brought me from New York City to Ohio to join a church in Wadsworth, and how you kept me there for a season before I was kicked out of the church and fired from my job. I wasn't given a reason as to why I was kicked out. My church hurt kept me from looking for another church home. I believed I didn't need fellowship with other believers, and I was fine with just following you by myself. As I continued in this way of attempting to walk with you, I found myself slowly diverging into a life where I started to become mastered by the things of this world and my fleshly desire again. God, you and your kingdom were no longer the number one priority in my life. Consequently, I became numb to your guidance in my life. As Proverbs 18:1 puts it, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he breaks out against all sound judgment. This was me, Lord. About 2 months later, from that moment, I saw Matthias at Giant Eagle. He invited me to the Page as You group. After almost a year of isolation, I decided to open up myself to fellowshipping with other believers. At my first U group, I met Colin Page, and I shared a lot of what's been bottled up in my life at that point. I had nobody to confide in, and that's exactly where the devil wanted me, alone. After sharing with Colin, I was reminded that I'm not alone, and I felt less shame after confiding in somebody who gets me. He prayed for me that same night, and I experienced what James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working." At the start of 2025, I decided to join a United Triad that met consistently once a week. I started to understand how common a lot of my struggles were, and as a young man, that I'm not alone. Consistently having fellowship with a few of the same young men gave you, Lord, the room to teach me to stop pretending to be somebody that I'm not. Lord, you've used it to teach me to walk in my new identity as your son. Later that year, my girlfriend and I at the time had a mutual conviction that our relationship was not pleasing to you, Lord, that we both needed healing and restoration from certain wounds, and it would be better for us to go our separate ways. After we broke up, I've allowed you, Lord, to continue the work that you had begun in my heart. Since then, I've continued to experience the liberation, peace, and fruit of your spirit. During the United Retreat, I decided to get baptized, outwardly declaring my recommitment to you. Around this time, I met the Wilson family, who've taken me in as their own son. Lord, you have worked through them in my life to guide me, encourage me, and impart wisdom to me that has blessed my walk with you, Lord. You continue to deliver me from strongholds as I cleave to your spirit, Lord. You have been using me to bring heaven on earth, Lord, and to show this world the reason we were created through the way you're teaching me to live my everyday life. God, I remember, and I am grateful for your faithfulness and patience with me. I'm grateful for the family you've brought me into, and how you continue to use, and how you continue to bless me through them. Thank you, Lord.
God, I remember this time last year how I positioned myself in a relationship with you. I was distant and rarely showed up to church or youth group. I didn't read my Bible or pray. I did all things on account of my convenience and comfort. I remember only half believing in what you were capable of doing and thinking that I'd use help from you when I really needed it and figure out the rest on my own. I started to consistently go to church with my dad late last year, and I really tried to listen to the sermons. God, it was by your grace that I was convicted to go into a deeper relationship with you. I was scared that I'd be alone. I was scared that getting serious with my faith meant being by myself for the rest of my life and that no one my age would understand me. God, this is when you blessed me in a huge way in March of this year. I decided to go to a retreat run by my high school youth group called The Next Retreat. It was there that I got to meet three girls who came to be some of my closest friends. And God, you met me in my worries and provided for me in ways that I could have never predicted. You have continued to bless me with so many amazing friends as I've continued to attend life groups. I've had so many opportunities that I didn't even know I wanted. For example, this summer I got to go to Philly for a mission trip and Momentum, which is a youth conference. These two events changed my faith in you completely. I got to see in Philly how you are constantly working everywhere. This trip helped me to learn so much about evangelism and view it in a whole new light. It also helped me discover a calling within myself to go into full-time ministry. That was something I ignored while in Philly, but when we went to Momentum 2 weeks later, I couldn't deny it any longer. In just months, God, you brought my heart from being so distant from you to wanting to dedicate my career to your work. That is something that I'm reminded of every day. The difference between who I was and who you transformed me into never ceases to amaze me. Throughout these two trips, you continued to help me trust the people in the church and get closer with them. This is something that had seemed so impossible to me for so long. But time and time again this year, you have shown me how you can take any fear or doubt I have and you can overcome it for me. Through my growing relationship with you this year, I've noticed fruits of the Spirit in my life that I had never noticed before. I felt a joy unlike anything I've ever felt before. On days that would have ruined a week or even a month last year, I still feel blessed to be alive and blessed that I get to get up the next day. In all my moments where I'm exhausted with school or figuring out college things or keeping up with my life outside of school, I feel a sense of gratitude that I've never felt before. God, you have allowed me to be grateful for all things, and I've been able to see the good in everything that happens in some way or another. I cannot thank you enough for taking the life that I was so miserable to be living and not necessarily changing every circumstance to be easier for me, but instead changing my heart to being in love with you. My relationship with you has done more than just improve my life. It's given me purpose and a desire to get out of bed every morning. Being a senior, I've done a lot of reflecting this year, and when I look back to all the things that have happened over the years, I can see you working when I did not want to know you. I've looked back on events from years ago and felt so much gratitude for the fact that even when I was a sinner, you were still looking out for me and had a plan for me every day of my life. I want to praise you, Lord, every day with the way I live. And I know I'm going to fall short, but I can't help but try now that I see all that you have done for me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me the way no one else can. God, I remember, and I am grateful.
Dear God, as you are well aware, 2025 has been a challenging year. As I approach my 60th birthday, I started getting anxiety and depression due to my past. As you know, my dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer when he was 56 years old, and I was only 26 years old at the time. My dad died after turning 60 and 4 months before our firstborn son, Colin, was born. And so as I approached 60, I was filled with anxiety that the same thing would happen to me. Just a few months before my birthday, on October 6, 2024, we found out that Colin and Emily were having our first grandbaby. It was an amazing blessing to hear this, and we were so happy and felt so blessed. Unfortunately, shortly after that announcement, I started focusing on the hard times of my life and knowing I was turning 60 in a few months. I began to focus on turning 60 and how did it come so fast and how was it 30 years ago that I lost my dad. I started to think, is 60 when I'm gonna die? And will I ever get to meet my grandbaby? I stared down this awful downward spiral. Satan was attacking my mind and heart daily. I have never had feelings and never had anxiety or depression like during these 8 months. I convinced myself that I was not gonna get to see my grandbaby. God, you know that I'm not an inward person and I wear my heart on my sleeve. So I was sharing my feelings with Danette, my wife. I started taking anxiety pills to help me with my anxiety. I turned 60 at the end of January 2025, and we celebrated my birthday as a family. In the past, I loved having a birthday, but this birthday was not mentally great, the worst birthday internally for me. I kicked this can until June 6th, the day that my life changed. Friday, June 6th was a great day. I was part of a Christian fundraiser at Hillendale Shooting Club. My team came in first place, and I had a great day. I came home after the event and noticed that the whites of my eyes were really yellow. I asked my wife, and she said, let's FaceTime our daughter, who is a PA. Miranda, our daughter, told me to go to the ER ASAP. I said, no, I'm fine. I'm just dehydrated. But she said, no, this isn't normal. Go now, Dad. So reluctantly, I went. I called our son and Pastor Tony, let him know I was going to the ER, and asked them to start praying for me. Danette and I went to the ER, and surprisingly, Colin, Tony, and Jess Lavigne met us at the ER to lay hands on me and pray for me. The ER took my blood work, and my liver enzymes and my bilirubin were off the charts high. My mind went right away to I have cancer, and I'm not going to get to see my grandbaby. Due to my blood work, I was admitted into the hospital for MRI scans. On Monday, June 9th, I was told that the greatest fears had come true, and I have pancreatic cancer. And this was also the same day that Emily was giving birth to our first grandbaby, Brady. But God, despite being filled with anxiety for so long about the possibility of this day, on this day you gave me peace I cannot explain. This was the day I heard you tell me, I have your cancer, don't worry about it. You focus on Brady. I also heard you tell me, you have me, and you're going to get me through this, and I'm going to be okay. I began feeling your arms around me when I was praying, and I've been feeling you hugging me when I'm praying ever since then. God, I've never felt closer to you since I was diagnosed with cancer. It is a miracle how through this you took my anxiety and depression out of me, and I've never felt closer to you since this happened. Through my cancer journey, I feel you leading me through it, and putting amazing people and situations in front of me to share your ultimate love for each of every one of us. I now know that you will sometimes face us with our biggest fears to show us that through you and with you we can get through it. God, my prayer is that anyone listening to this letter would know that once they go to you and accept your journey for them, that their trial will seem easier. I know that I'm not the only one to go through a journey. We on this earth all go through trials. God, I just pray that when they come, that we would go to you and ask for your comfort, your wisdom, and being led by your Holy Spirit. God, thanks for reminding me that tomorrow isn't promised for any one of us. And the only way to you and eternity is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, I remember all that you did for me in 2025. I remember, and I am grateful.
It's awesome. Can we give a hand for those stories? That was amazing. It's crazy to me that even in the darkest moments of our lives, God meets us there in the most joyful moments of our lives and in the darkest, and that is incredibly comforting. So as we think about that, would you guys stand with us as we sing this song about how good God is and how gracious he is?
Thank you.
How good is he? Far beyond what my eyes could ever see. Yet he stands in front of me. How good is he? He paints a canvas with a million stars. Yet still he holds my heart. Our Father in heaven, the light of salvation. Oh, how good is he? The breath of Almighty before and behind me. Oh, how good is he? How good is he? Forgiveness isn't bound by circumstance. He's the God of second chance. How good is he? When a sinner's heart is all that I can bring, still he welcomes me. All I'll ever need. is he?
You guys can go ahead and take a seat for a moment. And so as we said at the beginning, we're going to give you guys a little space right now. Just on your own, but just you and God, just to process, to think back on your year, to remember the highs, to remember the lows, to take a moment and to simply thank God for the faithfulness that you can see his hand in your life. If you're someone who it's just helpful to you to kind of write stuff down, if you process better that way, there's a card underneath your seat. You can just simply write some stuff down. If you don't need that, that's fine. So we're just going to give you a few minutes on your own. And then after that, I'll come back up and I'll kind of give us some instructions on how we're going to close out the service together. So take a few moments now, just you and God. Spend some time thanking him for his faithfulness in your life. Father, we know that you are good and that you are indeed faithful. And God, sometimes we can lose sight of that and we can forget that and we can sprint forward and not turn back to say thank you. God, I also know that 2 minutes is not enough time to adequately thank you for all the ways that you've been faithful to us. So God, my prayer is that this would be the start of you reminding us of the ways that you've been faithful. Would you continue to do that tonight? Into this week, as we lay our head in our pillow at night, would you just continue to remind us? Would you continue to cultivate in us a heart of gratitude for all the ways that you have been so, so good to us? Father, we love you. We thank you. We ask all these things in your son's name. Amen. Well, in just a moment, I'm going to give you some thoughts on how we're going to close out our service. Before we do that, I want to take a moment and I want to say thank you on behalf of our entire staff to a whole lot of you guys for the ways that you have just been part of the year that we've kind of been journeying on together. And so for those of you who've invested in our Power Kids and our student ministries, for those of you who have sat with crying kids for an entire service and who have shared the gospel with the next generation, man, thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for your investments. For those of you who've led life groups and who have hosted and allowed large amounts of people to invade your personal space, probably spill things on your carpet and just like invade your lives, thank you for opening up your homes to our church. For those of you who've taught classes for us, who spent hours prepping for teachings, for those of you who help with foster care and marriage mentoring, maybe you serve with one of our ministry partners, you've gone on a mission trip or something with us, man, we want to thank you. Thank you for giving of your time and your energy. For those who serve behind the scenes in our tech booth, you guys don't get a lot of credit. You're behind the scenes. We're super grateful for you guys. Thank you very much. Yep, we can absolutely do that. For those of you on stage and those who aren't on stage right now but who often lead us in worship, we are super grateful for you. We are grateful for your skills. As I've said at every service, I have none of those skills. So I'm really glad that you guys have those. So we're grateful for you guys. For those of you who help clean our building, who help take out trash, we see you. God sees you. That stuff you do behind the scenes, it's not meaningless. It matters so much. Thank you so much for your willingness to do that. For those of you who have given sacrificially and invested financially in this church, know that your gifts, they matter. They really do. Your gifts help change lives. They're part of the stories, many of the stories that we've heard today, and they have such a huge impact. For those of you who've stood at cold doors to welcome people when the snow is blowing in your face, or those of you who have served hot chocolate to our crazy kids as they swarm you, to those on our safety team and our medical teams who keep us safe every week, man, thank you guys for all that you do behind the scenes. And I could probably keep going for like hours trying to list every person in every way of the people who've served this past year. But just know that when we as a staff, when we reflect on our past year, and we think of the reasons that we have to be grateful, that you guys are absolutely on our list. And so on behalf of our entire staff, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you guys. And so as we kind of close out our year, we're going to do two last things. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to watch a little highlight video that just kind of recaps some of the images of the year from our church family. And then we're going to close out the service the only way that's fitting, and we're going to sing one last time together. So check out this video, and then we'll worship one last time together.
We worship the God who is. We worship the God.
That's awesome. And it's so fun reliving those moments of what God has done in and through our church, and to relive that with you guys. And so as we finish the service, would you guys stand with us? We'll sing this one last song together about who our God is.
Like prisons we couldn't escape, but he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way, but he came. Dead now. This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. That fear that took our breath away, faith so weak that we could barely breathe, but he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail.
So much for ringing in the new year with us. We hope to see you back next week. Have a great day.